Accession number 28657, Mr. Jeff Key, Reel 13. Now, when did you leave East Kirkby then?
Well, after disposing of all the equipment and paperwork at East Kirkby, my posting came through to Meeple, which of course was part of 8 Group. And I was posted to Meeple awaiting my discharge.
And this is in January?
In January, yeah.
Now, what was your... Did you have a role at Meeple? Or?
No, there were several of us there waiting for our DMOB. And I applied for leave and was granted leave. And I spent most of my time with my wife in South Wales. Asking them, the adjutant back at Meeple, to wire me as soon as my DMOB came through.
So this is just a purely nominal posting in many ways.
That's right. It was just awaiting my DMOB.
Now, what about your actual DMOB? What was the process of that? That was on the date here was the 26th of March.
Yeah.
So what was the process?
Well, the day previous I'd been called back to Meeple to clear station, which I did. And then went up to Wembley to get my civvy kit. I did this all in one day and went back to Abertillery, having got my civilian kit.
Now, what kit did they give you? I mean, what was this is the famous DMOB suit.
DMOB suit,
What was it like?
Well, you had limited choice, of course. Shoes, suit, coat, overcoat, hat, very basic. I wasn't too concerned. I just got what fitted me. And as I say.
Now, what were you going to do? You decided not to stay in the RAF, but, you know, what were you?
I hadn't a clue. I really did not know. And it was at that time. It suddenly struck me, what in heaven's name am I going to do? And more to the point, what I was capable of doing, or qualified to do. And I really didn't know. And I wasn't too keen on living in South Wales. It was a pretty drab little town. But my father-in-law was instrumental in getting me a job in the food office as an assistant food officer, responsible for issuing the rations to the miners in some of the collieries there.
Now, how did all this work? What's the basis of the job? What food, if you see what I mean?
Well, at that time, of course, food rationing was still in operation, as it was until, I think, in the early 50s. And we had to issue cheese and general food rationing, these vouchers. The miners, of course, got that little bit of extra for their manual work. And I was responsible for the issuing of...
Now, were you issuing the food or the rations?
The actual documents. Yeah. Vouchers, in fact.
And what did that entail? So what was a typical day's work like?
It was more clerical than anything, of course, writing up the details of the particular miners involved in the issue of these documents. A careful check had to be made of where they were going and who they were going to. And as I say, it was more clerical. And I hated the damn job.
Now, why did you hate it?
Because it was involved basically being enclosed in an office with about 50 other bods, all doing the same thing, all like myself, had just come out of the service.
Did you think of going back? I mean, what did you think of doing?
No, at that time I didn't. That didn't come until quite a little bit later. After some weeks of doing this, I was due for a break, and so I travelled up to my home village, and in the course of which I went into Bishop Stortford, being the nearest town, I wanted to see an old friend of mine, and I eventually ran him to earth in a pub not far from his business, and I joined him and the other chappie with him in a pint of Benskin's Best Bitter. And in the course of conversation, I told them of my predicament. And it so happened that the chap that this friend was talking to was the manager of the local labour exchange. And he said, "I've got just a job for you." He said, "There's a large farm estate just outside of Bishop Stortford, and they're looking for an office manager come farm, come secretary." He said, "It'll suit you down to the ground." Well, I went straight home and phoned these people, got an appointment for next day, and walked straight into the job.
And what was the job exactly? What does a farm office manager do?
Well, here again, basically, it involved taking correspondence from both the partners of the company, keeping herd records. They've got herds of Essex pigs, also Aberdeen Angus cattle. They were also Scotch seed potato merchants. And in fact, it was a very involved little job.
Did you need training? I mean, could you do all these things, typing, dictation?
I hadn't a clue. I walked in completely blind. The first thing I did was I started taking shorthand lessons with a teacher in Bishop Stortford. But the demand outstripped the time. And so I evolved my own method of short longhand, which I found I could cope with throughout all the time I was there. I used to take all the dictation, although eventually the partners got a dictaphone, and this was a real ancient model using the old circular wax cylinders. The junior partner used to put his letters on theirs, but the senior partner could never cope with it, so I still had to take his in my short longhand. I didn't find that difficult at all. I eventually coped with that quite simply. Typing was a 1-2-finger affair, but again, time alone, I coped with it.
You did this for 13, now nearly 14 years as a farm manager. Now, was it a successful part of your...
I mean, very. I think that was one of the jobs I enjoyed most of all throughout my life. It was so diversified. They had two-way radio installed, so they could contact each other wherever they were. Eventually, they bought up other land, also took over management of three other farms, and in all, we were farming somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 acres of land.
So, a responsible position.
It was quite a responsible position. So they then employed an outside manager. Also, they got a young lady in to assist me with the correspondence. And
then later on, you went into management in a furnishing company, which I think is moving a bit too far down the line for us. So it's got you back into civilian life. Now, what effects had your wartime experiences had on you? Physical, mental, good, bad, anyway? What do you think?
I think the one major thing the war did to me was broaden my outlook, very much so. The only thing I regretted later was the fact that I wish I had taken further educational courses. But having said that, I think my experience with the farm management and office management gave me all that eventually. The junior partner there was a stickler for procedure, and I think I learnt more there than possibly anywhere else in my life.
Now, what about any bad effects of your wartime services? Nightmares, mental problems, any things?
No, I was never troubled. Now, wartime services had gone. I think, let me come back to my little book that I wrote. I wrote several, I can hardly call them poems, and they're more of a prose than poems. And I think my feelings are there, illustrated, probably better than anything else that I can say.
Yeah, do you want to read those, or it's not, you know, it's something that's up to you for the record, or not?
What do you think?
We're very pleased if you want to read some of your poetry or prose exercises. It's just if you're willing to do it. Some people don't like reading their own stuff.
I don't mind. Okay, I've got one here. There's no point in running.
Now, you picked one you want to read. I don't know how many you want to read, but Just Another Day, this one's called.
Yes, and I'll ring in two I'll read.
Okay.
Yeah, Just Another Day. Dawn breaking lights the early morning sky. In the east, the rising sun heralds the start of yet another day. Across the drome, mist hangs like a silver mantle, and all is quiet. Soon the day springs to life. From distant points around the drome, the echoing roar of mighty merlings as fitters start their daily checks. Other tradesmen, like ants, swarm over our planes, checking all the gear. Back at our billet, our batman calls. Ops again tonight, air test at 10, briefing 2:30. God, it's just moments since we crept into our beds, or so it seems. We curse, then make a move. Ablutions done, we make our way down to the mess, and then the squadron office. So the routine of our day begins, and in my thoughts I wonder, where will our target be tonight? Then, I think this is my favourite. Flying with the clouds. We climb up through the mysteries of your mighty stairway, reaching the brilliance of the sun that lights the valleys there between your glistening peaks, where sunlight beauty reaches all around. We fly these paths of brightness, reaching high into the sky. But tonight a different story you will tell, for no longer can we see just where those lofty crags begin or end, as into the darkness of the night we fly, surrounded by your swirling mists. Bound for a distant target, we make our hidden way, wondering what mysteries lie within those threatening shrouds. Suddenly we feel the anger of your turbulent winds. Or is it just another lank, so near but hidden by your gloom? We'll never know. Then, like a lightning strike, ice thrown from our whirring props smacks with a vicious crack against our frozen craft. Climbing still, we hold steady on our course. Pressing on within your freezing mass, we wonder when we'll break free of these your mighty peaks. Then suddenly above we see the twinkling stars and breathe a sigh of great relief as here and there a spark of light tells us that we are not alone. There ahead our target, where already hungry tongues of flames are spreading, reflected now upon your towering mass, and just ahead a flaming lank falls into this mess as fighters strike from out your crimson-coloured shrouds. We say a prayer as we proceed above this place, and with target markers in my sight, I press the bomb release. Then feel our load begin to leave the belly of our craft. A gentle turn to starboard as we set course for home, heading back into the curtain of your freezing mists. Dawn begins to break. The rising sun behind us in the east lights up the beauty of our coastline. As we approach once more the green fields of this our dearest land, where once again your towering peaks, with all those hidden valleys, now begin to form, heralding the start of yet another day, as we descend and land below the beauty of your ever-changing skies.
That's very good. Thank you very much indeed.
Great now, pleasure.
The only other thing that before we finish is just to have a look at with your membership of any associations? I mean, some people join them, some people don't. Have you joined any?
I used to belong to the Pathfinder Association.
Now, what happened with that?
Well, I let my membership lapse there because neither my wife or I could travel up to London, and I had very little contact up in London at that time.
Did they offer anything? What did the Pathfinder Association offer, if you see what I mean? I mean, was there a...
Well, there was. One could obtain a meal there and also accommodation if one was in London at the time.
It's a club.
It was a club, the Pathfinder Club.
It actually had a building.
Had a building,
and was there a magazine and regular reunions? Or
Yes, there were regular reunions and also newsletters. But I let that lapse, as I say, because, frankly, we couldn't at that time, with a young family and the demand of my work, I couldn't pursue it, really.
So you let it lapse quite early.
I let it lapse quite early.
Now, what else? Are you in...
Then I later joined the Aircrew Association, and I'm still a member of that.
What does that bring you?
Well, here again, every month... We have a luncheon, which is held in various pubs within quite a wide area, one of which is on my doorstep here, so it's quite handy. And as I say, we meet... when I first joined, there were over 60 members that we would meet on these occasions. Now we're down to about 30. So time is beginning to tell.
And any others? Are you Bomber Command Association? Are you in that?
No, I just belong to the Aircrew Association and Probus.
Have you met any of your old crew that mattered so much to you?
Yes. In 1989, my skipper, wireless operator and navigator, we all met at East Kirkby for the inauguration of the war memorial there. But on that day, we never saw another person we knew. Not one. Not one of the old crews.
Now, what about your crew? Had they changed? I mean, was it still the same after all those years?
Right up until quite recently, we were all in touch with each other. But sadly, my skipper now suffers from Alzheimer's. My wireless operator died a matter of a few months ago. My navigator died... just over a year ago. Flight engineer is in his 90s. We correspond at Christmas. The same with my Australian mid-upper gunner. We write to each other frequently. In fact, my sister goes over to Australia quite regularly and goes to stay with Frank and his wife. And that's about it. Sadly, as I say, there's only my skipper with Alzheimer's, our flight engineer, who's now in his 90s. He's lost all his family, so he's on his own. Myself and our Australian.
Thank you very much.